Welcome back to the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about a principle in business and content creation that just works really well, and it's based on the Zeigarnik effect. Did I pronounce that correctly? I always butcher things.
I thought it was the Zeigarnik effect, but on our last Friday check-in, someone said they were enjoying the different pronunciations I was using with their name. So I am not the person to be giving people advice on how to pronounce things. I don't think it matters. Well, I mean, I do think it matters how you pronounce it, but I don't think for this podcast it matters that much.
You know what's funny is I only heard about the name of this effect relatively recently, but it's been around for a long time, and I've been, I guess, inadvertently using it for a very long time. Should we just define what it is real quick?
Yes, but I'm so curious of how you've been using it. But yes, go define it first.
Okay. So this is kind of like the definition I pulled off of Wikipedia. Yeah. The Zeigarnik effect is a psychological phenomenon named after its discoverer, Soviet psychologist Bluma Zeigarnik. And the effect refers to the tendency for people to remember interrupted or incomplete tasks more easily than completed tasks. So for example, Zeigarnik found that the brain maintains a state of tension or cognitive arousal when something is not complete, which acts as a mental reminder to finish the task. And this tension is only resolved once the task is done. So that was like the scientific term.
Yes.
What is it in very basic terms?
So how I heard this example the other day and I actually thought it was really good. Have you ever been to a restaurant and there's like five of you at the table, or you know, it's not just you or two people, and everyone gives their order to the server and it's complicated, right? Like there's changes to the items and it's like an appetizer and you know, you want this on your burger, but not this. And the server doesn't write anything down. Have you seen this?
Yes. They do it all the time. And I'm like,
so
you're not going to remember,
right? You're like, you don't remember that I want medium with no tomato, and this person wants medium rare with extra tomato, right? But they talked about how this is sort of the Zeigarnik effect in action, is that because the process of the server's job, right, is to see the table through to completion, but because you're not complete until you pay the bill, their ability to remember everybody's order comes from the Zeigarnik effect because it's an unfinished task. So their brain actually does have the ability to remember everybody's complicated order and go back to the computer and type it in, because your brain works. That's how your brain works. And I was like, that's true, because it's usually the people that write it down that screw up the order. The people that don't write it down usually get it correct.
Is that true? Come on.
I don't know. I think so. But have you noticed that the people that don't write down your order mess it up more? I haven't. And
Tony, you're always one to like, hey, can you hold the pickles on that? I don't want any like whatever. I just order what's on the menu.
Yeah. So, but even if there's six people at a table and everybody orders what's on the menu, it's still tough to remember all that.
It is. And it's tough if you're at a fancy restaurant and they need to know which plate.
Yes. Each person ordered. Right. And what I read about this was that typically once you cash out your check, the server doesn't remember your order anymore. It literally, like, your brain holds it until the task is completed. And so that they use that as an example of just like in a common everyday situation, how your brain works. And I was like, you know, that's true. Like, I've never asked an order, like a waiter later, like, hey, what did I get? My orders are probably so complicated. They're like, I remember you. But that was an example that I heard that I thought, hey, that's actually a pretty cool example of how your brain will remember things until the task is completed, which I find annoying, by the way.
Well, okay, here's another example. Like, what was I watching? Okay, I was watching FUBAR, which is Arnold Schwarzenegger's new Netflix series.
Okay.
Literally every single episode ends on a cliffhanger.
Yes.
So I ended up binging that whole thing, and that's the Zeigarnik effect.
Yes, it's the same reason why books, like the chapters end, because it forces you to be thinking about, like, you have to go read the next chapter of a book. Authors do it all the time. So it's clearly a principle that's been in
Hollywood, certainly.
Well, right, but in our everyday, like, we probably don't even notice how many times. It's also, I read, why cramming for a test doesn't usually work. because
what,
it's
that got me through all of college. What do you mean?
That was my whole strategy. No, but basically, like you're better off retaining information if you do a little bit at a time because it's incomplete. So your brain is actually remembering that information better, because if you try to do it all at once and then you're like done at the end of the night, you remember less.
Okay, I agreed with you.
Up until that, everything up until this point. Yeah.
Like that's how I got through college, basically. Mm-hmm. But okay, that's all fine and good. Like humans don't like loose ends, blah, blah. How does this make you more money? This is the point of the show.
Yes. How does it make you more money? Well, here's the thing. I actually think it's terrible for business.
What? What are you talking about? Okay, go on.
So I know you're like, this doesn't make any sense. So if you don't finish if you are working on something and you don't complete it, I actually think this is not great for business, because what I think happens is because you don't, I don't want to say this. I don't think it's good for business because I think we almost crave the loose ends. I think we don't crave the completion. I think the Zeigarnik effect actually wants us to crave the loose ends and the unfinished business. And that's why I think so many entrepreneurs especially have so many half-finished projects and half-finished courses and half-finished ideas. Because I feel like your brain is sort of wired to live in the cliffhanger mode. And so that's why I think it's bad for business.
All right, that's the opposite for me. I always try to complete something before I move on to the next. Otherwise, it bugs me.
Yes.
So if you notice, like the way I operate, like I don't move on to something else until I don't want to say done because it's never done, but until I feel good about where I'm at.
Done-ish.
Yeah. Okay, this is a completely different direction I thought we were going to take. So,
What direction are you supposed to go in?
Do you want
to
continue talking about how this effect does not make you money, or
let's talk about how it does make you money, and then we can go into the end if we have time.
I've started using this effect for everything that I do now. Okay. So YouTube, anything with content, I should say, YouTube, the podcast. And to a smaller extent, the blog, because the blog I'm doing for SEO.
Okay.
But you'll notice all of my YouTube headings now and my titles always never tell you what it's really about. And your curiosity will make you go watch it. Right. So it's a loose end. Everything's a loose end. Like this one thing will grow your sales by 50%. Like that's a loose end, right?
So you're using it in basically your copy and your marketing to get more people to watch, read, view your content.
Correct. It's like the Netflix effect, kinda.
Yes.
It's a cliffhanger, so to speak, in a subject line.
Yeah. So you're basically giving people just enough information to where they're not going to be able to forget what you said because they need to know how it ends.
Right. So imagine if you saw, and Mike Jackness, I actually stole this from him. If you had an email to run a sale for your store, said, this is the craziest deal that we've ever offered.
Right. People like, are going to be deal? Like, I need to know. I can't sleep until I know what the deal is.
Right. Except he used that line for coloring books. I don't see how crazy that could be, but it worked. That was his best converting Facebook ad, I think.
So have you, now you, I don't know when you started implementing this, but have you seen a change in the amount of people that click over and view, or have you seen the results of this yet?
100%. YouTube is the easiest way to tell whether this is working or not, because you can easily split test your thumbnails and your titles.
Yeah.
And so I've had videos come out and flop, and then I'll switch around the thumbnail to something using the Zeigarnik effect, and instantly the click-through rate shoots up.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So usually actually what I do now for YouTube is I monitor it like a hawk, and I check after like the first 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not doing well from a click-through rate perspective, I'll switch it out with another thumbnail.
So now we've talked about using this in the title, right? In an email title, a Facebook ad. But what about using it in the actual copy? What about using it? I've seen this happen a lot. I see it almost always with the people that are more like YouTube storytellers. They're not really, they're just vloggers, right? It's like a look into their life, but they never finish the dang story. It's always like and watch for part two or whatever. Which drives me insane, but I always like and watch for part two because, you know, I need to know how the story ends. So have you tried it on the back end as well, where you don't actually finish the story?
So I always finish, but here's how I end every single video now on YouTube. Now that you know, I'm trying to think what I just filmed. Now that you know about how to start, now that you know how to find suppliers, watch this video here to learn actually how to make sales on your products once you get them. So it's kind of like a cliffhanger, but not really.
It is, because what you're doing in that is you're saying to people, well, I've taught you one thing, but you still don't know everything that you need to know to move forward. So in order to know everything that you need to know to move forward, you need to now watch the next video. So you've educated, you've given them enough information to know that now they know they don't know.
Correct. And you know what's funny here is you're acting dumb, but your entire email sequence before was exactly that. And if you guys are listening to this, I don't even know if this is up for you anymore. Is that page still up?
It might not be up right now. I don't think it's up.
Basically, Tony told an incredibly, if you don't know Tony's story, it's really fascinating. And she told it really well in a story. And then she ends by saying, hey, by the way, you got to sign up for my list to hear the rest of it. And I fell for that a long, long, long time ago.
But
I fell for that.
But you did get the story, and you did get the story when you signed up.
No, that's the thing. I didn't. Oh. I got it from knowing you personally.
Oh, but you should have gotten story from signing up.
But you didn't finish it because it never ended.
It didn't, right? Actually. The story ended.
Well, yeah, it did end now. But yeah.
But yes, so I'm not playing dumb, but what I'm more interested in this, it's basically, I like this idea where you're tricking people into the Zygarnik effect, because if you think of, I'm thinking about it in kind of like circles or buckets where, let's talk about your video of everything you need to know about, what'd you say, getting a supplier overseas?
Yeah, I just made that up, but yeah.
But let's use that as an example. Like everything, you know, this is something you don't know. You hook people in, right? So you use it initially to hook people in. But then when you, and you provide them all, so you're actually not, it's not spammy, right? You're actually giving them all the information that they need to find a supplier. But what people probably don't know if they're just getting into e-commerce, and I didn't know this, was that getting a supplier is like step one of 10,000, right? Like there's all these other things that you need to do. And if you're just getting into this or you're new, you don't understand, you don't even know what you don't know. So what you're doing at the end of this video is basically letting people know that this is just the beginning,
right?
And so it's basically recreating that effect for people to force them to watch more, because now you've let them know, hey, this was great and this got you everything you need to know about X, but X is only part of the story. And now you need to go learn the rest of the alphabet. So it's pretty genius.
You know what I like about recording these?
Yeah.
Is, I just noticed that I'm not doing that with my podcast, and I should be.
Yeah.
Right? At the end of the podcast, it should say, hey, hope you enjoyed that incredible interview. Just want to let you know that I've had this guest here who went into more depth on this about the same topic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? I'm not doing that. And I've got 470 episodes. I haven't done that.
Get recording right now.
I just need to go going forward. I'm going to do that. Right?
Yeah.
And we should do that with our podcast.
We should, because there is that element of educate, like you have to educate people. I mean, because sometimes it's really obvious. Like, let's just take a super cheesy, like The Bachelor, right? Like when you're watching The Bachelor or The Bachelor, whatever.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Lies. You watch it every Thursday with Jen.
You knew it was on Thursday, which proves that you watch it.
I don't even know if it's on Thursday. It's like The Bachelor is really great at this, right? Because at the end of each episode, I think certain people get roses and that means they stay or they leave. I don't know. I don't actually know how it works, so I don't watch The Bachelor.
You seem to know a lot about it, but go on.
Okay, let's use Survivor then, because I have watched Survivor. You know, at the end of every Survivor, there was like the tribal council and like they voted somebody off the island, right? And it was like hugely climactic. You know, you're waiting for, you know, the alliances to form and, you know, certain people have the tribal trophy where you don't get voted off and all that stuff. But like, you know that there's another episode coming in which more people are getting voted off the island, and they create all this tension throughout the show of like alliances and people hating each other. And, you know, this person surely is going to get voted off. And so they do a great job of like forcing you like, well, yeah, that episode ended and there was like a conclusion and that someone gets voted off, but there's still 12 more people that need to get voted off the island, right? So you're forced to continue watching. A lot of times when you're producing content, it's not quite that obvious that maybe you don't know everything. Maybe you do a podcast episode on email marketing and it's a really great and informative episode, but at the end of the episode, you're like, hey, you know, we learned a lot about email marketing here, but I've got this other podcast with four awesome strategies of how I actually get people on my email list, right? So you're letting people know that, hey, there's this whole other component that we didn't even get to talk about. And you probably didn't even know this was a thing, but now you know, and you're going to want to listen because your brain's not going to shut off until you listen to the next episode and then the next episode. And then it's like, hey, we've taught you a lot about email marketing, but how do you get people on your website? Well, listen to episode 262, where, you know, Rachel Miller teaches us about driving people from Facebook, whatever it is.
You know, I'm just thinking about why I haven't done with the podcast. The reason why I started doing with YouTube mm-hmm. is because there's this stat, if you look under advanced stats, about mm-hmm. your click-through rate to the next video.
Yeah.
And I just noticed, because that stat was right in front of my face, that before I started doing this, it was really low, like 2% that people would watch the next video.
People had enough of you.
And yeah, but once
I can't watch another minute.
Once I started using the Zagarnik effect, it jumped up to like 15 to 20% now.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas in podcast land, there's no statistic like that.
So there's not an external motivation.
It's just not, it was never pointed out to me. It was pointed out to me really obviously in YouTube, but in podcast land, no one's measuring any of that stuff. So,
well, and it's in YouTube's best interest, right? Because they want people to stay on YouTube and continue watching and continue serving the ads. So whether they stay on your video or someone else's, YouTube doesn't care. They just want people to stay. So obviously, I think actually now that I say that, it probably does matter a little bit to YouTube that they stay, because, you know, the more loyal people you have on your YouTube channel, the more likely they are to stay in general. So obviously YouTube does want creators to build loyal followings. I was just speaking of loyal followings, Mr. Beast, who I don't even know how many YouTube subscribers.
I don't know what he has.
Yeah. It's probably 40 million or something obscene. But he did the same thing to me the other day. I think I was on YouTube setting up a office hours or something. I don't even remember. And for some reason, he came up in the videos, and it was Tom Brady throwing a football and knocking the drone out of the air.
Oh, I watched that one. Yes,
yeah,
I did.
Yeah, it's probably on your account. That's probably why I saw it. So anyway, I was like,
great.
Well, because I don't follow Mr. Beast, although my nephew is a huge fan. So I saw that one, and then immediately, like, the next hook was like, can Tom Brady hit a guy on a jet ski, right? It was like, you know, that video was done, but then it was like, oh, let's look at this. And immediately I was like, I need to know if Tom Brady hits the guy on the jet ski with the foot. Like, this became exceptionally important to me, even though I do not care at all. But it was all because, like, my brain was like, no, you need to know. You need to know if Tom Brady hits the, and of course, I'm like, of course Tom Brady hits the guy. If he can hit a drone out of the air, how can he not hit a big dude on a jet ski? But yeah, it worked perfectly. And I ended up watching like 4 Mr. Beast videos.
Yes. So how else are you using this? I just realized I'm using it. I use it in email titles. I'm using it in YouTube. I'm going to start using it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Come to think of it, I don't think I'm using it on the blog either. Maybe at the end of the blog post, I do have related posts, but I don't do a natural lead-in.
Yes. So that's what I was thinking about as we were talking, is that I actually have a natural lead-in in certain posts. Like one of my real popular posts is a DIY compost bin. And it's, you know, you use a big garbage can and it's basically for a composter that sits outside, right? Like you take your kitchen scraps and you put it in it. But one of the things that I lead into in that post is basically like, what food can you compost, and like how, like I have a lot of posts on like, how do you grow food in composting and like kitchen scraps, and like, what can you actually grow from a kitchen scrap that you shouldn't throw away? So there are some natural lead-ins in that post to other pieces of content. I will say, in order to do this effectively, it does take a little bit of brain power. Like you're talking about doing it on the podcast, it's going to take the ability for you to remember, like, okay, I had this guy on, he talked about this and that. So you're going to have to go back and look through 400 pieces of content to figure it out. Same thing with a blog post. It's really easy just to put a link to like four or five posts that get pulled up because you have a plugin or you use like, you know, you probably coded it in, but, you know, related posts because it has the same word in it or it's in the same category or tag on your blog. But to actually do it in a way that convinces people to click over is going to take you an extra probably 2 to 3 minutes to think through that, which is probably worth it if they're going to, if the click over rate just goes from 5% to 40%.
Yeah, it's totally worth it, especially if you're running ads and the goal is to keep someone on your site for as long as possible. Actually, yes. It should always be your goal to keep the person on your site for as long as possible.
Yes. Yeah. And this is a way to do it that it what I like about it is that it doesn't, like at the bottom of the post, it's like, and here are five other posts that I expect you to click over and read, which feels kind of spammy. Whereas if you're like, hey, if you're into composting, did you know you can grow things from your kitchen scraps? Here's how you do it, right? Like that feels very educational. It feels like, hey, I want to help you. If you want to get more green, if you want to get more earth conscious, I'm going to show you how to do it with these other pieces of content versus, you know, here's just a random list of the, it's not random, but here's a some level of categorized list at the bottom that I want you to click on.
You know what else I just noticed just thinking right now as we're talking about, that uses the Zeigarnik effect is when you're shopping online, and it shows you frequently bought with this thing.
Yes.
And I'm always like, what is that thing?
Yes.
And there's then I click
one,
on it.
It's three things. One is yours. One is super obvious. And the third one is like, I've never seen that before in my life.
Right. And I always click on it to see what accessories I can buy. So, I'm in the market for a new camera for YouTube for portability reasons. Like I bought a portable teleprompter. Yes. I bought a portable everything. And I'm looking at a smaller camera and then I noticed that, so the camera I'm looking at is a Sony ZV-1, and it had this like weird thing next to it. Like there was a tripod and there was this weird thing, and I clicked on it, and it's actually this monopod, but you know when you're like vlogging and you're holding the camera like this, the buttons are on the back of the camera.
Yeah.
So you can't see them. So what this thing does, this handheld thing, has the buttons all on the front.
Okay.
When you're holding it. So you can actually control the full camera, you know, as it's pointed at you.
Nice.
Which I thought was pretty amazing. So I actually picked that up.
Well, it's Zeigarnik effect. It's also why when you look at reviews, they don't publish the full review. It's always like two sentences, dot, dot, dot.
Oh, is that the reason why?
I feel like that's part of it, right? You want to click through and read the rest of it.
Huh. I guess so. You know what here's something I've always tried to figure out. You know some of those posts that you go on sites and you have to click read more to see the rest of it instead of scrolling down?
Yeah.
I've always wondered why that's the case.
Because it's a page view.
No, not when you click on the button though.
Uh-huh.
It's a JavaScript button.
I think it counts as an additional page view.
For what?
For ads.
I don't think it does because it doesn't refresh the screen. I don't think it does.
Are you sure?
It's literally a JavaScript button that
I know. It says read more. I think it's an ad thing.
I was thinking it's a statistic to measure whether people are reading it.
Oh, yeah, it could be.
But on the flip side, I scroll past it all the time thinking that the article is done.
Yes, I do too. And then I'm pissed.
Right.
And then, yes. Or I click on the wrong read more button and the next thing I know I'm on an ad for, you know, my diabetes and, you know. Like.
See, we can already get an idea of what sites you visit and the type of shows that you watch from this episode. And then you pretend like, oh, I don't know about The Bachelor.
I've never heard of it.
The only thing I know is it's on Thursdays.
On ABC at 9 p.m. on Thursday nights.
And I can't believe that Allison did that. Samantha's
the new Bachelorette, and it's going to be a sizzling season. No, I don't actually watch. I watch some trash, but that's not some of it. Okay, so any more you want to say on that?
No, let's just talk about use cases now.
Okay. I was going to completely flip gears. So.
Oh, were you? Okay. What do you want to talk about?
So the Zeigarnik effect is also why you can't sleep at night.
What?
Yes. So now this is not you because I know you sleep like a log, but
I don't, but I do get 6 hours like a log
So I'm sure that there are many people listening who, when they go to bed, wake up in the middle of the night with an idea or a thought, or they can't fall asleep because their mind is racing. And one of the things I've been researching a lot lately about sleep and nutrition and things like that. And one of the things that I found is like getting a good night's sleep, like good night's sleep during the same amount of hours every night. Like you always get in bed at 10 o'clock and you're always up at 6 o'clock and you have like a routine, right? It's super important. And it can, not having that in your life will give you brain fog. It'll give you all sorts of health issues. Like it's actually really critical. But if you're like me and most of the people that I talk to, you either can't fall asleep because your mind is racing, right? Like you've got a million ideas in your head, or you wake up in the middle of the night and your mind is racing. And this is all because of the Zeigarnik effect, right? Because if you think about what your mind is racing about, it's usually all your unfinished projects or unfinished ideas, ideas that haven't come to, you know, you haven't been able to flesh them out or create them yet. You rarely are up thinking about things that you've completed. Like I don't wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, Seller Summit was amazing. Like we really knocked it out of the park. Not once has that woken me up in since 2016. Like it's never once kept me up at night. But you know what keeps me up at night? Did I add so-and-so's name to the name tag CSV file that I sent to the thing? Did I make sure that I included the allergy form in XYZ? Like all of that keeps me up at night, right? Or wakes me up in the middle of the night and keeps me from getting a good night's sleep, which then keeps me from being productive the next day.
All right. So how do you solve that problem?
So it's pretty simple, actually. And this is why I think you should always sleep with a notebook or a notes app. Although I think getting on your phone in the middle of the night is super dangerous because then the next thing you know, you're 6 hours deep into a Facebook stalking of a boyfriend that you had in the eighth grade. So a notebook is much more effective. And also keeping some sort of notebook with you when you're out. Because what happens is your brain is interrupting what's going on, right? Like you're at lunch with a friend. How many times is your friend telling you a story and you're like constantly running through all this stuff that's like half done? And like right now, as soon as we get done off this podcast, I'm going to make some Amazon influencer videos. So you don't think that like during this podcast, I'm like, crap, where's my small microphone? Like all those thoughts are going through my head because I am not totally ready to do these videos yet. So if I had had them all ready to go, I wouldn't have had any of those thoughts. So when you're out and about at night, have a notebook so that you can start writing things down and sort of take them out of your head and onto a piece of paper. Now, until you complete them, you're not going to like cure this completely, but it's a real push to getting things done because it will definitely make you more productive.
All right, I would think that'd have the opposite of effect.
Why?
Because if you write things down, that's yet another thing you got to do. Whereas if you don't write it down, you forgot and you're like, oh, okay.
But you're not going to forget because it's the Zeigarnik effect. It's not finished.
No, but if you don't know what you didn't finish, then you've forgotten about it, right? There's lots of things where I have an idea and then I don't write it down and then I forget about it. And then ignorance is bliss.
Well, I think there's certain things that you have ideas about that are going to like float away, right? Because you're not, it's like just a passing idea. But then there's other ideas that you have that you're actually wanting to take action on that aren't going to do that. So for example, let's take this videos that I'm filming after our podcast recording. If I had just made a list of everything I needed for the video to have to set up and made a list of the videos that I wanted to make, which I don't have any of that, I probably wouldn't be thinking about it a whole lot because I've taken the next step in completion of that project. But because I don't have that, it's literally just like a constant in my brain right now. Like, don't forget the microphone. Where is the microphone? Do you have the phone charge, the phone set up for your tripod? Do you need to do this? Like, you're wearing the wrong shoes, blah, blah, blah. Like, all that stuff is going through my head right now as we're recording.
Oh, so you're not fully focused on me and the conversation?
I 100% am.
Yeah, that you're a good actor.
But I think... So this is one thing that I think is really helpful in counteracting this effect for productivity is, and I know like you do not do this. You're like the opposite because you always talk about how you tackle like the hardest things first, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. you're like, it's a 6-hour project. I'm locking myself in my office. The children are in a cage because like no one's going to bother me, right? But one of the ways that you can do this is to get some quick wins. If you really struggle with this, if your brain just doesn't shut off and you're and it probably has some like ADD components in there too. But if your brain just doesn't shut off and you're constantly being hounded, do quick wins like first thing in the morning. You know, maybe you have like 3 things on your list that you want to do today, and one of them is a 10-minute project. Do that one first. Get it done and get it knocked off. There's a sense of accomplishment. It's going to be completely out of your brain. You're not going to think about it again for the rest of the day. And then you're going to be able to be more productive on the other 2 things.
Ah, man. For me, it's like the opposite.
Because robots work differently.
No, I'm just saying, like, if I'm doing the little things, chances are those are trivial things that don't have that much impact. And then I'll feel empty inside. I'll be like, okay, great, I did this. But it's not, it's like the opposite for me. But like, I always take the highest priority item and I work on that. And then the little ones, like if they drop on the floor, I don't care as much and it doesn't bother me as much.
Okay. Yes. I think that's another, yes, that is a very effective way to work. But if you are someone whose brain is just going to do this, like constantly be pinging you through that, you're not going to be as productive on that big product, on that big project. If your brain doesn't shut off with these other little things, and it could be just the taking of the 10 to 15 to 20 minutes and completing like 3 or 4 things that are little, but they're things that have to be done. Like I have to call to make a doctor's appointment, right? It could be something simple like that. It could be not even work related, or I need to call the school and make sure this form was turned in. It could be things that are completely unrelated to business, but they're just nagging, or like, oh, the dishwasher's not unloaded. Like I need to have a kid do that, right? Or do it myself, whatever. I think knocking some of those very small things out of your brain until they're completely put away and gone is very effective to being more productive when you have a big project that needs to be taken care of.
So those 3 examples that you gave me, like the way my mind works is, okay, the form needs to go in. So that bumps up to the high priority and I would get that done. Okay. Unloading the dishwasher. And what was the other one?
Doctor's appointment. You're like, I'm not going to the doctor.
Yeah. I put that last and like, that wouldn't even bother me.
Yeah. So here's a good example of how this in business. My client is running a big sale next month and it is a 10-day sale. So there are probably 14 to 15 emails that will go out during this sale to different groups of people, different components. And so that's a lot of emails to sit down and write all at once, right? And be creative and be think like that's a big project, right? And it's definitely looming. So yesterday I sat down and I was like, okay, I need to start working on this. I need to start getting these emails taken care of. So I immediately knocked off my list the 4 emails that are not that aren't changing year over year, right? Like, so 4 emails basically stay the same year over year. The only things that change are like the graphic, you know, like very, very small changes to the wording. But immediately 4 emails got knocked off my list. Right. So now I'm not even thinking like now I'm like, oh, I only have 9 more emails to write. Right. So I immediately knocked out some stuff that was going to sit there and go, well, all you need to do is put in an image. All you need to do is switch out that for a GIF. Right. Like there was little in those. If I hadn't have done that first, those little things would be nagging at me because they were easy, but like still sitting there. And now I can have much better focus when I'm working on these other more content heavy type emails that need to go out.
Sure. Yeah, no, I agree with that. But I mean, the whole big project is getting those emails out, right? So you, in fact, did work on the big project.
I did.
Right.
I did. But within the project, there's like with most big projects, there's little components of the project that need to be taken care of.
Yeah. And presumably not all these emails are going on the same day, right?
So no, but I like to batch everything. Like that's just how, kind of like when you do TikToks, you batch them, right? You want to do 5 or 6 TikToks at once.
Were those first 4 emails the ones that are going to go out first though? Mm-mm. Oh, they weren't? Okay.
They were the ones that I knew I could complete quickly and like check off the list and be out of my head.
So I don't want to bring my wife into this, but I am going to. Like she always has this checklist.
Yeah.
Like every day that things that need to get done, but they're not prioritized often. And she just wants to get stuff checked off, which is why I'm kind of arguing with you a little bit.
Yes. Because you don't agree with that method.
Right. Because she just wants stuff checked off to make herself feel better sometimes.
Yes.
Right.
Everyone does. Every single person in the world but you feels this way.
Well, no, but I mean like, okay, great. You checked that item off, but that didn't do anything.
Okay.
I don't want to get any fights, so I'm gonna be quiet
this
now.
Reminds me of one of my favorite childhood books, and I think I've brought this up before and you don't know what I'm talking about. It's the Frog and Toad books.
I have no idea what those are.
It's like a set of storybooks about a frog and a toad and their best friends. And one day, I think it's Frog makes a to-do list of the things he wants to do with Toad today. And it's mostly like fun stuff, like fly a kite, go to the park, whatever. Well, like halfway through the day, he loses the list, right? It flies away, right? And so he's like just completely depressed that he loses the list, right? But the depression stemmed from, even though they still did all the things that were on the list, that he didn't get to check them off because the checking them off was so satisfying. I was like, that book was written for every adult human except for Steve in the world because there's so much satisfaction that comes from checking things off a list. And I know you don't get it. Because every time I ask you for something, you're like, I'm going to need you to prioritize that, which means it's not getting done.
My list never gets checked off, though. That's the thing. It never gets checked off. It's like an endless list.
Yes.
So how can people actually have a checklist?
We talk about this in the course. Quick wins. Quick wins.
Quick win is just checking off one thing.
Yeah.
But not finishing a list.
You don't need 10 quick wins, Susan.
Exactly. Yes. I'm happy to check off one thing.
That just basically, there's two schools of thought, right? There's the school of thought of like being able to check multiple things off gives you a sense of accomplishment, a sense of purpose. It motivates you to keep going. Then there's the other camp that you're in that's like getting the biggest, hardest, nastiest thing done is the only motivation you need.
No, okay. You've just made it a huge exaggeration. You basically need to prioritize what needs to get done and you work on the thing with the highest priority is essentially what it is.
But your highest priority is more about money, which is fine.
Well, if it's business, no, it depends. It depends. Yeah. It could be pain.
Yes.
Right? Like this thing is just causing me so much pain and time that I need it fixed. Kind of like something you wanted fixed recently with Seller Summit that was causing you lots of pain. It wasn't necessarily a priority for me, but because you expressed the sheer pain, I fixed it.
Okay, but
and then you threatened me too. But
if you had to have the pain that I had, it would have been fixed 6 years ago. That's true. 100%.
I don't know the answer to that, but yes.
I know the answer. Yes, it would have been fixed. But anyway, I think that's why I think the Zeigarnik effect can be harmful, because if you have all these unfinished projects, if you have all these partially done things, your brain cannot focus because it's constantly thinking about all these half done things. And that's, most people are procrastinators by nature. They put things off. Things are hard. A lot of people are like, we get this all the time, actually, in the course, where it's like, I only have an hour a day. So they think they can't get anything done. But you can actually get a ton of stuff done in an hour a day if you're just like laser focused during that hour. But I think the problem comes in that because we're wired that way and we know our brains work this way, that when you have all these half done projects, you are never able to be really clear and focused in what you're doing. And that's why it's important to start getting those things on your list checked off so that you have a clearer thought process and you can be more productive when it comes time to getting your business off the ground or taking it to the next phase, whatever it is.
And I'm not really just trying to play devil's advocate here, but some things just shouldn't be even on that checklist to begin with. Like you shouldn't be taking up new projects until you finish your existing ones.
Yes, that's true.
Right? Because how many entrepreneurs do we know that have like 6 or 7 side projects going on, you know, at the same time? It just
because it feeds an entrepreneurial need.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, it's unfortunate. It does. But that's why I think it was Austin Bronner that talked about this a long time ago. Like the people that are successful do like one thing really, really well. Right? Like if you had the secret. The secret sauce, it's like be amazing at one thing. And if you're amazing at one thing, you're probably going to be successful.
And on the flip side, with the Zeigarnik effect, like use it to your advantage when it comes to selling stuff.
Yes.
Or getting people to do stuff. Because if you leave an open loop, then people are going to be curious and do whatever you want them to do. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.